Hello, witchy friends. Welcome to Catstein Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast social media pages at Catstein Witchcraft on Instagram, Catstein Witch on Twitter, and Catstein Witchcraft Podcast at gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to Catstein Witchcraft, and enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 122, and today's topic is an interview, and we are going to talk about protection and defensive magic. This is only going to be an introductory topic, so we will also be providing sources, though, that you can do some additional research on your own, and those details will be found in the episode description. And like I've mentioned recently in past episodes, during the next few interviews, we won't be doing the crystal or the stone of the week just for the sake of time, because interviews tend to get really long, and I've had some really long ones in the past, but that sweet spot of time for interviews is between 45 minutes to around 90 minutes, so I want to keep those roughly around that amount of time for you guys, so it's a little bit easier to digest the information that is provided. Today's repeat guest is Desiree, or also known as the Divine Wu. As a reminder to those who listen to this episode, there are many, many ways to do things such as protective and defensive magic, and just all magic in general. There are many ways depending on someone's culture, personal connection to their spirituality, and so on and so forth. So if what we talk about today doesn't resonate with you or it doesn't work for you, there's always other things you can try. So if what you hear in this episode doesn't work for you, or you're just not interested in those techniques, please continue to do your additional research. What we talk about today is suggestions from our experience, her experience, as well as research that she has done and I have done as well. And there's also only so much we can pack into roughly around 45 minutes, so we can only really touch the bare surface level of information on the topic. Okay, everybody, like I was telling you earlier, we have a return guest again, and this is one that we had back in February of 2022. The episode that she was on last was on magical ethics and also talking about a little bit of her experience on being a professional tarot reader.
Hello, everybody. Excuse me. Took a sip of water just as she said that.
That's okay. I was almost getting a little dry mouth too at the same time. So I was like, oh, I'm going to pause and see what happens. Exactly. So, yeah. So thank you for coming back on the episode. For those who didn't know, she is a friend of mine, and she is a wonderful tarot reader. Her experiences that she gives other people and just her views on things are very in-depth and personable. So I feel like today she is a great person to talk about this topic with, because she gets sassy and passionate about it. But she's also, in my opinion, does really good research, and she loves books.
I do. I absolutely do. In fact, I've sent Fauna the list of books that I used. So yep. I'm going to make sure that y'all have the information on where you can find information about much deeper than what we're going to be able to get into today. So
yeah, I will put those in the episode description if you guys want to look at those under sources. So you'll be able to pull some of the topics out of those books.
Yeah, I will also mention them when I get to certain things that are of particular importance, especially in the beginning when we're talking about what a hex is or what these things are.
So where do you think the first place someone who's interested in this topic should start?
Personal protection. Making sure you have your personal shields, and making sure your space is clean and clear, and that you have a clear understanding of your own personal ethics, and you're prepared to deal with the consequences of your actions. One of the things that people forget is that just because you can do magic doesn't mean other people can't do magic, and that they don't have ancestors and deities and entities that are out there to protect them. And you may send information, or you may send something out to someone and have it come back to you. I had a gentleman that I spoke to, his shields were set up when someone attacked his business. It was set up to bring in more financial resources to mitigate mm-hmm. it and bring in resources. You have other people who will immediately send it back to you, and they will, next thing you know, you're sitting there dealing with a situation that you thought you had sent to somebody else, and their deities are like, nope, or their ancestors are like, absolutely not.
They fling it right back.
Exactly. So making sure your own personal protections are up and clear, and the other thing I should throw in here is that your intentions are clear. A lot of times people think they can just throw out a hex or a curse on somebody. And if that person hasn't really done anything, it's quite possible that it may not even work. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those situations where you have to really know and want to do this. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people, yes, the evil eye is easy to give. I mean, you can look out your window, somebody cuts you off. That can be viewed as giving somebody the evil eye. Mm-hmm. But when it gets right down to it with the details of like curses and crossing and hexes, those things are really going to require you to put some energy and maintain that energy. Mm-hmm. So it's not something you should really be doing unless you're really ready to put forth the energy that's going to be and deal with the consequences of the actions.
Yeah, exactly. And what you said about the evil eye is accurate. And I'm also actually actively reading a book on that. I was reading that today. And evil eye can be seen as a hex or a curse, and it's been around for a very long time in human existence. But if it's just as simple or as complicated as the evil eye, depending on your views on it, or other types of curses, hexes, or jinxes, having these personal protections is very important. And one of the things I actually read today on it is even if you do daily and small protections, or just because you do meditations and spells, you might need to layer some of those protections as well.
Exactly. And you also need to take into consideration that, somebody can send something, you can send something out to someone, and if it comes back, it may not come back to you. It may very well come back to someone in your household.
Yeah.
Or to your home, or to your business, or to your car. I mean, these things can rebound and go into different places and affect you and still affect you. And I think the big ticket item is making sure people understand that this is energy that we're talking about here. And if you think about energy from the perspective of something like water, if you splash a puddle, you are going to get wet, and it may wet the person that you wanted it to get wet. Mm-hmm. It could also get any of the other people around you, and energy can flow like that. So you could very well send some energy out to someone. It reflects back, or it hits them, or it hits somebody else in their household. So you're mad at your ex, but he has a new girlfriend and she has a baby. And next thing you know, you've thrown something on him and it's affecting the baby. I mean, these things can happen. And so people need to be very clear and very focused on their energy that they're mm-hmm. going to be sending out in that context.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I want to identify, like, let's start with the big ticket item of what in the heck is a hex? Because we've thrown hex, jinx, crossing, and curses all in the same vein. And there are specific definitions for those things. And I think people need to know what they are to kind of like start. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, of course. I think that will kind of help give people some guides. In some cases, in some traditions, mm-hmm. the definitions may be a little bit different.
Right.
But in more common times, they have separate meanings based on like their intensity and different things. Is that correct?
Yes. And I picked this particular set of definitions from Diana Rachel in Hex Twisting. It's going to be in your resources. And she talks about it from the perspective of what is actually negative magic. And so she identifies four types of negative magic: jinxes, which causes an inconvenience, a minor inconvenience, rather than outright harm. Okay, I don't want you to ever be able to find a parking space that's less than a half a mile away from where you want to go to. You know, that's something like that. a hex, though, is going to be targeted bad luck. It's like, you know, every time you park somewhere, I want something to happen to your car. It doesn't have to be anything major, but I want you to get dinged. You got this brand new car. It's beautiful. I want that sucker dinged. I want the tires scraped. Anything, you know, something really targeted to just the car. A crossing, though, now that's a little bit different. A crossing is something that's going to block your path. So it's going to keep you in the same place emotionally, geographically, or even financially. You're trying to move. And, you want to move to a different part of the country. You just graduated and your ex is not interested in you going away because she wants you back. He wants you back and he wants you to stay there. So you end up with a crossing that everything you try and do falls apart. Nothing's really following through. You're not able to get the apartments you're trying to get to. You can't seem to find a job. That could be considered a crossing. And then finally, your curse. And a curse is a spell that's cast to cause permanent damage to your body, mind, or spirit, or even generations, like something that's going to affect you and all the men in your all the men in your family, or you and all the women in your family. So those are much bigger energetic lifts. But they are things that could absolutely affect you and your family long term. And it could be, if somebody is willing to do that, there's definitely ways to get those things off of you. But depending on your level of skill, you may have to get other people involved at that point when it's something on that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And very often people feel that there's a hex on them or a curse or whatnot. And what would be the next thing that people would do if they feel like there's something going on with them, or how to identify?
Right. So if you start feeling, you feel like you're being watched, you're having very vivid nightmares, and it doesn't have to be all of these. It could be one of these, but these are some of the things that I've heard. You have a particular sharp and stabbing pains that cannot be explained. The doctors just can't figure it out. And you have a good doctor. I mean, you're going to the doctor and this thing just insists on coming back and it's not going away. All of a sudden you're feeling drained. Your personal energy is just drained all the time. You're having unending bad luck. And when I say that, I literally mean unending. It's like no matter what you do, things just are not going right. And we're talking months of things just not going right. Another big one, believe it or not, is your plants or your animals, your pets, are all of a sudden being damaged or being attacked or being harmed in some way. One of the things that animals and plants will do. If you're a plant, you're a plant person, and your plants are just dying for some reason, and nothing has changed significantly. It could be that whatever energy is coming towards you is being absorbed by your plants. The same thing for your animals. Animals will let you know if they're seeing anything. If you're paying attention and your animal is looking up in corners and they're hissing or they're barking, or they won't go in certain rooms or go down into the basement, things like that. And then all of a sudden they're being, you know, physically harmed. It could very well be that there's a curse or an entity coming your way. The other thing is you're having a hard time sleeping. And we talked about the plants and, you know, but these things, you really, before you even start going down that road, there are some things you need to do first. Go to the doctor, have your doctor check you out, make sure you're not taking that your medications don't have any things that could be affecting you psychiatrically, because those things can happen. There are drugs that will have you thinking that something's going on with you, and it's really not. It has nothing to do with you. It's just the drugs have that level of side effects. So you want to check with your doctor first, make sure everything's okay. And then there are other ways you can incorporate. You can do, if you have your own practice, doing some form of divination or finding someone who can do divination for you. And then you start adding up these things together. We'll let you know if something is going on that's bigger than just, oh, you know, I actually have something physically wrong with me. There is something energetically wrong with me. And some people can see it. There are people out there who can literally see negative energy on you. So that's another way to be able to find that information out. So you want to check yourself out first, physically, make sure you're okay. Make sure any medications that you're taking or there have been any dramatic changes as far as your medication, that there is nothing, no component of that that could be affecting you in that way. And then getting somebody to help you see if there's any negative energy around you. And if you've done all that and you found that there's negative energy, now you need to start working with some other issues about how to handle that. Oh, two more things actually. Sometimes we do things to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Every time I get some money, something happens. That's something we call a self-imposed jinx. And what you're doing is you're literally saying to the universe, to your guides, to your energy, every time I get some money, my taxes come in, something's going to break. And so you're literally perpetuating the problem. You're the one perpetuating the problem. It's not anybody else. It's you. The other thing you have to take into consideration, environmental problems. Is there something going on in your home? Do you have black mold? Is there some kind of problem in your air filter situations? Is there carbon monoxide? These are things that could absolutely cause other problems that could appear to be curse related. So those are the kind of things you have to take into consideration as well.
Or things outside your home. Sometimes people will be like, oh, I found a dead bird or a bunch of dead birds in my... Someone could have put down some bad fertilizer, some chemicals.
Right.
If there's a factory around, there's so many different things you have to kind of look into prior.
Right. The other thing is, have you obtained any used items? People have to be really careful when they pick up used items in antique sales and things like that, because they can bring negative entities and not necessarily negative energy entities. Some people are attached to their items even after they cross over, even after they passed, and they may be the reason why certain things are going wrong in your home. So if you bought jewelry at an estate sale and all of a sudden you're having problems, very well be that ring. So those are the kind of things you want to look at. The other thing you need to check into is if you're doing any kind of magic yourself, are you doing your adequately cleansing, clearing, and casting your circle and grounding? If you're not doing that, you could have all kinds of energy bouncing around within your home that you didn't intend to be there. So you have to make sure you're taking care of you're keeping your space clean. Make sure you're doing all your protections when you're working any magic spells. Make sure if you've made any promises to your deities, that you fulfilled those promises, you've been working with the fae and you're not clear about what you're trying to do. These are all things that can actually affect you in ways that can very well appear cursed. And those are, and it may not be a person, it could be a deity, an entity, or even something attached to you sexually. Those kind of things do happen. So you want to make sure you're taking care of all of that and evaluating all of that about yourself. So, you know, making sure you're not doing any self-imposed curses, you've checked for your medical issues, you don't have any environmental issues, and you haven't brought anything new home.
Yeah.
You haven't been doing any spell work. You haven't been promising things to deities and to the fairy realm that you haven't fulfilled. And if it's none of that, you might have a problem.
Exactly. So there's a lot of things, and I think the important thing from just all those different things that could possibly trigger negative energy and or also a curse. Not all negative energy is essentially a curse or a hex or a jinx, but being careful what you do, what you say, who you do things with, who you say things to, and also just being conscious of your energy and the energy around you. Would you say that is something important?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, this time of the year, you see a lot of things. People, I happened to go to TJ Maxx the other day, and there was a Ouija board sitting down there on the bottom shelf. And I'm like, here we go. And these are the things that come along that people think, oh, it's a game. And sometimes it is just a game. But other times you could very well open up something that you didn't even realize that you
just always need to be cautious, especially when you do anything dealing with energy.
Exactly. And once you, if you find that you've got something on you, there are various ways to deal with it. And like I said, there are, you can use crystals, you can use herbs. There are various protection herbs. But you are probably going to really want to get somebody involved. If you don't know what to do, you're going to probably want to get somebody involved who knows how to deal with that kind of, how to remove these kind of negative energies. And there are other, there are various ways that I've had people tell me that there are ways to move, that I've seen people remove energies from a house and remove negative energies from a person. But it really does involve doing some actual sit down legwork and it's something that takes a little bit of time. It's not like it's a absolute no, you can't get rid of it, but sometimes it's going to take a little bit of work. This is why casting curses is such a, you know, is such a big deal, because if you throw it out there and it comes back to you, you've got to now deal with it. So making the decision to curse somebody is a serious decision. And not saying that you shouldn't do it. It's just, understand, it's a serious decision. And if you do it, you need to be prepared to deal with the consequences. It's just like anything else in life.
And that goes back to your previous episode with us, is magical ethics and thinking about those things and what might occur in between your beliefs and why you may or may not make those choices.
Exactly. Because once again, these things may not come back to you, but it could very well come back to someone in your household.
Yeah,
it could come back to someone at your job. You know, somebody that's important to you.
Yep. And something unexpected.
Exactly. And those are the kind of things that a lot of times people don't think about when they cast curses. Or you can end up cursing someone else in the home because that person is protected, but someone else is not. And so you end up doing something to someone that you did not mean to injure or hurt or curse. So it becomes that kind of, once again, are you prepared to deal with the consequences of the actions that you have, that you're about to do? And I think that that's, you know, that's one of the, always when you're dealing with energy work and when you're dealing with spells and curses, that you have to be prepared to deal with, to accept the responsibility of it.
Yeah. So you also, you did mention there are herbs and crystals and a couple other things that people can do to at least initiate and start the process. If you guys can hear that, I know you guys will hear my cats on occasion, but my neighbor's dog is having a little conniption outside. So pardon my neighbor's very cute lab, but he is definitely getting his energy out now. So you guys might be hearing the dog in the background. Pardon that. But yeah. So you said there's crystals and herbs and other things that people can do to initiate these things, but, and sometimes they might require help. That was one of the things I was, it, how things work out. I didn't even realize how much the book I was reading today would be attached to what this topic was. It just completely slipped my mind when I was grabbing the book, but how magic doesn't, or cures or fixes folk magic isn't always necessarily witchcraft. Right. And every culture, every religion of some sort will all have their different ways of doing things. One of the things I was reading is there's literally the belief in the evil eye itself. And there's dozens and dozens of ways for each culture or just a remote area on how to solve those things. Because essentially the evil eye is a form of a curse one way or another. intentionally mm-hmm. or unintentionally. Right. So some of the things that we talk about today might not work or might not be applicable, or someone might not like some of these techniques and they have a way that their family has used it for, because there are a lot more people out there who say they're not superstitious, but there are certain things that they still do out of habit. Exactly. Or is so ingrained into their culture or their language and how they say things, depending on the area that you're in, will affect how you take care of these things. So say someone put a curse on you, what would be the first couple things you would do? Say you identify there was one. What would you do personally for yourself in your home to try to mitigate that?
Well, starting with me, I would immediately sage myself and my home. For me, the way I sage a home and myself is, I'm going to smoke this place out like a 70s bar. I mean, you're going to walk in here and be like, good gosh, I don't know if I could take it. Well, that's right. That's good. That means you don't need to be in here.
Yeah, you're going to hot box the house.
Yeah. But, and then I'm also going to sit down and work with my deities. And I can tell you, I wear quite a few crystal bracelets on myself all the time. And a couple of them have things attached to them specifically to prevent certain things from coming my way. In fact, mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. I went to Gettysburg with some friends, and I have a charm on my bracelet that keeps earthbound entities away from me. But I went to Gettysburg, and there's a lot of energy in Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. That charm fell off my bracelet. I don't know how. Not only did it fall off my bracelet, one of the people with me, she also had a charm, and it fell off her bracelet as well. So it just told me that there were things about Gettysburg that you had to be very careful with. And, you know, people have talked about Gettysburg as far as what they've seen and all those kind of things. And if one of those entities chose to follow you home, that's a deal. That's something you have to contend with. You've got to get them out. You've got to work with your deities to protect you, I have a, believe it or not, two stuffed animal dogs that are representative of one of my patron deities, Hecate, and they sit guarding my front door, looking at my front door. They know that their job is to guard this house. Mm-hmm. So I've got things. I'm going to, you know, back to the original question, I'm going to reinforce my protections on this house. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to Hecate and say, hey, you know, something's going on here. I need your help. I need you and your hounds to help protect me. I'm going to talk to my ancestors. Help me. I'm going to make sure I have the things that I know are going to be there for me. I may keep a small mojo bag with frankincense and myrrh in it, some lavender, some dragon's blood. These are all things that can help you help put a wall of protection around you. The same thing with crystals, your ambers, your amethysts, your bloodstone, your hematite. These are all crystals that are there to actually help to keep you, to help remove anything or to protect you from anything getting. Tiger's eye is another good one for psychic attack. I will create some sigils as well. And those sigils as sigil and runes mm-hmm. can be used to create something that is going to serve as protection for you. And you may decide that you want to, you know, put that sigil in your purse. Heck, you may decide you want to put it in on a particular part of your body. I highly recommend you pay attention to what you're doing. You know, study on that one before you do it. But, you know, these are things that you want to use to protect yourself. Then I'm really going to get my people involved. I have people that I know. I have shamans. I have practicing witches. I have psychologists. I have a lot of people that I know that are about, even a couple of priests that are about clearing and removing negative energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk to them because I want to make sure that I know I can do what I can do, but it may, I don't know if it's going to be above or beyond my capabilities. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure I get other people involved. So if I feel like it's whatever I did isn't doing enough, I have my team who can come with me and help me, and they can bring in their own deities and spiritual warriors to help protect them and me and clear out what we need. And there's a couple of books that I also know of that have, you know, spells in there on how to clear negative energy. And I would also do some of those things as well. So that's where I would go. That's how I would attack that.
Would you categorize some of those charms and bracelets and crystals as talismans and amulets as a category for someone to look into?
Yes. And not anything that I wear, but yes, you can absolutely look to those, because a talisman, let me make sure I don't even know if I have that definition here, because I would normally define it. But a lot of people have things that they know and that they use for themselves personally. So they have a family heirloom that they know that was my mother's cross. Mm-hmm. Whether you still believe in the Christian God, that cross, if let's say it's my mother's cross and she prayed on this cross for my protection all the time, that right there can be a talisman that helps protect you. Mm-hmm. And you can create your own talismans, but I think it's one of those things where you have to absolutely make sure you know you're getting you want to use something that you know is being used for your soul protection.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And there is a slightly different definition between an amulet and talisman. Mm-hmm. But one of the things to remind is when you get things, like when you said, if you're shopping for antiques or estate sales, you want to cleanse the things you get. And you also need to put your energy and time into these things, because just buying something off the shelf doesn't mean it's automatically going to work. It's like if you buy a TV, you have to plug it in and give it energy. It's just not going to automatically work as soon as you take it out of the box.
Exactly.
So you need to do these processes to get things ready, to get things prepped and attuned with you. You need to connect it to the energy source to get them to do what you need them to do.
Right. And that's, you know, and that goes for every tool that you have. You have to commune with your tools. You have to cleanse your tools. I remember a gentleman that I know, he was feeling very sluggish and he didn't understand what was going on. Well, he had certain crystals in his home that he hadn't cleared in over a year. And it was literally bogged down with energy. And he was, you know, he was an actor. So he was constantly bringing different, just within his own personal being, he was becoming different people and having to do all this work to create these characters that he was doing. And this was starting to attach itself to him, to his crystals. He literally had to cleanse his entire space. Which one of the things you should always be doing is cleansing your space and cleansing his crystals. And it was immediate, the change in the atmosphere of his home when he did that. So, you know, these things, when you've got a lot of heavy energy going on, if you've gone through something major, the loss of a family member or, you know, the loss of a job, anything that can really affect you emotionally, those things can weigh on your soul. They can weigh, that energy can stay in your home, especially during, think about COVID, during that, all that time we spent in our homes. There are a lot of people that I don't think appreciate how the energy in your home can become stagnant. There is a reason why people say to cleanse your home, to open up those windows in the spring. Because you want to clear that energy out. You want to bring in new things. You want to bring in that new and positive energy. And so you want to make sure that when you're dealing with some of these things, you're clearing out your car, the energy in your car, the energy in your home, the energy around you, protecting yourself and having clear, clean energy in and around your space and in and around you is always important.
Now, if it's okay with you, I am thinking that we should go over some of the sources that you use in case anybody is interested in digging a little bit more on the topics.
Okay. So I used, I had four really good books. And I'm going to also recommend a fifth just because it's one that I know I've used, and I really follow her, the author of this book, a lot. But my the first book I used was The Witch's Shield by Christopher Penzax. He's a witch, and he's very well known, and the book is excellent. I find it to be full of really good resources as far as dealing with protection side of it and the casting side, things as far as the year, you know, the days of the week and how that can affect your spell work, moon phases and how that can affect you, all that kind of thing. So it's an excellent book.
Knowing both sides is very important.
Yeah, it really does help you prevent. I don't think people think about the fact that there are so many things that can affect how your spells work. And Christopher goes over that in various books that he has. But this particular one is specific to protection magic and even the information on curses. The other person that I highly recommend is Amy Blackthorne, and I use two of her books. She has the book Blackthorne's Protection Magic and Blackthorne's Botanical Magic.
Okay.
The protection magic book is just that, protection magic. Her botanical magic book talks about botanicals in their various forms and how you can use them for protection and cursing. But the protection magic book is also very good on talking about just personal protection in general, just across the board, personal protection. So she has a background in this area. So she was very thorough in talking about things, not just within the magical realms, but outside in the mundane realms as well. So that book is excellent. And Hex Twisting Counter Magic Spells for the Irritated Witch.
That's a good title.
It is a great title. I loved it. That was a really good book as well. And then for a particular negative energy removal spell, I'm just going to call it there. When Ghosts Speak, by Understanding the World of Earthbound Spirits by Marianne Wachowski. Now, some of you may or may not know who this woman is, but she is the person that the Ghost Whisperer TV show was based off of. She always says that 90% of what they did was not real, but there were some moments of things that were real. But in that book, at the back of that book, she actually has a curse negative energy removal spell. Somebody else has to do it to you, but it works. And that's one of the things that I really, that's why I'm recommending it. I'm also trying to pull up one more thing because I don't think I've recommended it yet. And it's definitely on my list of things that I, books that I really, really enjoy. Yes, this was another really good one. Dorothy Morrison, Utterly Wicked. That was a really good book as well. So that was the one I forgot to add to my list that I sent to you. But that's an excellent book if you're interested in actually cursing somebody. And she talks very candidly about what it's about, how it works, and the things you need to do to protect yourself if you're going to do it, and the things you need to do to actually get it done. So I found that I actually just purchased, I got that book from the library actually, and then I went ahead and bought one, you know, just in case you ever need to do it.
Yeah, there's never enough books. If you can get it, get it. There's one book that I was mentioning is the one that I'm reading right now. I'm almost done. I just literally have a few pages of it left. And I feel like this would be a good topic in book for people to look into. It's The Evil Eye, The History, Mystery, and Magic of the Quiet Curse by Antonio Pagliarulo, I think. I probably mispronounced his last name, but it's actually a very good book. It's I think it's a relatively new one because it even mentions like everything going on in 2020. And I was reading it, I was like, what? Like, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it's been almost like 4 whole years since like everything started. with COVID in 2020. It's wild. But it's actually a really good book because it goes over different histories and cultures and religions and perspectives and small stories from people who went through things in regards to the evil eye, which is a form of curse. And the idea goes back as far as we have currently recorded or historical like evidence in artifacts is 5,000 years. Of course, the energy pre-exists that because right. the energy, but the idea in a little bit more of a solidified idea as far back as 5,000 years and most likely more because mm-hmm. it didn't just like pop up one day all around the world. So that is something I would definitely recommend people to look into. Okay. So moving on from the topic of books, and I know we have talked about it before, is the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram. Is that something you would recommend people looking into?
Yes. And so the Lesser Banishing Ritual, it's actually a form of energy clearing. And it actually is a ritual that you can actually find online. You can find it on YouTube. I'm going to pull up my information here about the ritual itself. The ritual is actually part of the tradition of ceremonial magic. And so that's actually one of the things that a lot of people who are into ceremonial magic, when they're doing their first degree, they have to do the LBRP, which is the other name for it. Mm-hmm. And there are various forms of it. There are specifically forms of it that there have been witches that have come up with their own version of it. But one of the things about it, it's one of these things where it's the work has been, the energy has been put out there for years, and you want to, and that energy is supplemented by what you're doing. So
we had a dog visit. Now we have a kitty visit. Can you hear him?
Yes, I did. So it's actually a pretty short ritual. And what it does is it clears your area and it clears your space of negative energy. It's cleansing and clearing, and it's a protective ritual. And it consists of four sections: the Kabbalistic cross, the banishing ritual, the evocation of the archangels, and lastly, the Kabbalistic cross again. And where you see the difference in a lot of times when you're talking about, especially if for practicing witches, they don't call on the archangels. So they will call on either other deities, or they will call on the elements mm-hmm. or the elements. So north, south, east, west, water, air, fire, water, air, fire, earth. So these are things that people have incorporated other than the archangels. So it's really a matter of just finding one that fits for you. And the LBRP, it is part of ceremonial magic. Mm-hmm. And so this has been, it was something that they created, and it has been used thousands upon thousands of times. And that building and supporting that energy of that ritual is one of the other things that helps it be so clear and successful in doing what it's supposed to do. And that is clearing you and your space. And it's really just a tool that you can add to your daily arsenal of things, because it literally only takes 5 minutes.
Yeah, once you get it down.
Yeah, once you get it down. And like I said, it's available. There are different versions of it on YouTube. You can go on YouTube. And if you're going into the ceremonial magic area, you will find that they are that's going to be one of the first things you do. In fact, from what I understand from one of the ceremonial magicians that I follow, it's something you have to do for an entire year before you move on to anything else.
Yeah.
So every day for 365 days, you are doing the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram, mm-hmm. which is a big deal. I mean, and it really does help you. It's just like the foundation of everything else. If you're practicing magic, your foundation is what's going to help you become better at your magic, and making sure you have your protections up. This is one of the things you can do to create protection, create the protection bubble around yourself to keep things from coming to you and to protect your home. That's what they're for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we wrap up, is there any last minute things you would like to mention or just any fun little things going on that you would like to talk about?
Well, I was just going to talk about the one thing I was going to mention is my lemon that I keep in my kitchen. I have a lemon in my kitchen in a little bowl, and that lemon is there to help me make sure that there's nothing interesting or unnecessary coming into this home energetically. Mm-hmm. So of course I have plants here. I have my protections, but I have a lemon, and that lemon sits there, and I squeeze it every so often to see if it's doing what it's supposed to do. If your house is clear and you don't have any negative energy going on in your home, when you squeeze that lemon over time, the lemon's just going to get hard. The fruit will actually just kind of fall in on itself. It'll be hard. But if it starts to get squishy, so you got a lemon sitting in your living, in your kitchen.
It's rancid.
All of a sudden it's getting squishy and weird. And you're like, what is going on here? It's a first line indicator that, there may be something going on here that's not conducive to me. I need mm-hmm. to start doing some investigation. And once again, plants. One of my friends, she had a plant and the plant was doing great, but she went to repot the plant and the inside of the plant had gone completely rotten. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what the heck is going on? And she ended up having a phone call from a person that actually she was having trouble with. When she found that plant, and that person eventually ended up leaving. It was a person from her job. So these kind of little things her plant took the hit for her in that case. That lemon is keeping an eye out for me. Like I said, I have my protections all over it. And that lemon is one of the things I keep in my kitchen at all times. Same thing with salt. I was going to recommend that there's a book about the history of salt, and it talks about why salt is considered so protective. Mm-hmm. And so there are little things like that, you know, putting salt on your doorstep, putting a pentagram or a sigil on your windows. Mm-hmm. These are all things you can do to help protect your home and protect you from negative energy, just having open door access to yourself.
Exactly. Throughout the year, I've been putting brooms above the main doors and putting the evil eyes on the front and the back doors where people come in and out of. Mm-hmm. And also, I haven't put salt out because I'm a little cautious about putting salt out outside, but I just started doing more because I have my own personal jar for spells, but I am I just baked them yesterday. I have been drying out some eggshells, washed them, got them all toasted, and I'm going to start grinding them. But for this one, I think I'm going to put it outside, which I have not done yet.
Right.
And with the changing of the seasons and it being October and everything that comes along with the time of year and just getting an additional things, I haven't really put protections outside. So I'm slowly expanding my protections. Right.
Let me
through the different parts of the house, and that can be very important too, because you don't even want people on your doorstep. So if you can even get them as far away as possible.
Exactly. And I was going to say, here's an easy way to kind of handle that salt situation. Use salt water to make your sigil on your windows.
Yep.
And it'll just
I've done that with Florida water.
Yeah, same thing. And Florida water is another big one. For those of you who don't know what Florida water is, there is a brand of Florida water. It's a cologne, but it's been used in hoodoo practices, voodoo mm-hmm. practices, witchcraft practices. People create their own Florida water. And it's the essence of flowers used to basically help support the energy of a home or support your own energy. You can use mm-hmm. it as a cologne. But I use it in spell work all the time. In fact,
it smells great too.
Yeah. And it's actually one of the things that I clean my house with. I have Florida water and vinegar and moon water in my container. And that's what I use to clean my house. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely helps maintain the energy that I want in this home.
Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. Like, you can get small bottles, you can get large bottles, you can order them online. Mm-hmm. Some places, they will also have them at Walmart or Walgreens, depending on where you live, because it's supply and demand for the area.
Exactly.
But you can, like she said, you can make your own. But honestly, store-bought is fine too.
store-bought is absolutely fine. And it's really because
they haven't changed the recipe either, have they?
No. It's Murray and Lamon. Yeah, Murray and Lamon. And you know what? I tell you, if you go into... It's usually like a Walgreens. I don't know if CVS has it, but like Rite Aid, Walgreens.
I think pharmacy kind of stores.
Yeah, pharmacy. I think I've seen it in Walmart. You know, it's places that you may not necessarily think. If you go to a Botanica, they absolutely have it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, any metaphysical shop is going to carry Florida water. They may have their own version of it, or they may carry the original. So, but it's definitely one of those things that, you know, you can create your sigils and with the Florida water and just put it on your windows, on your car. These are ways that you can just, small ways to just protect yourself and make sure that, you know, if you're going to be doing work in your home, these are things you should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
You should be taking care of your home, protecting your home. And, you know, you wouldn't leave your door open in the middle of the night for anybody to just walk in. So if you're going to be doing any kind of work, and especially if you're going to be doing curse work, you need to make sure that you're doing the things that you have to do to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, thank you for coming on to the podcast again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me back. And I hope, you know... Nobody's going out there and doing things willy-nilly, but if you're gonna get out there and do it, protect yourself. Make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yep. Don't fuck around and find out and realize people told you so.
Yep. Don't do it, because we will both be sitting there saying, "Yep, told ya." And a lot of magical people will not even have this discussion, to be perfectly honest, because they don't want that energy rebounding back on them.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful out there, people.
Yep, exactly. So, okay, everybody, thank you for listening to today's episode. And like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you. Have a great one. Blessed be.
Blessed be.